It's time now for the All Things Legal Show. Your host of the show, an attorney with over 20 years' experience practicing personal injury, a graduate of UC Berkeley, Pepperdine Law School, and a partner in the law firm of Ashton & Price, here's Craig Ashton.
All right, welcome, valued listeners. This is Craig Ashton. The show is All Things Legal Personal Injury. Attorneys distilling topical events into their legal essence. Edward Allen Shady.
Help me.
Birthday boy. It's a very, very shady birthday week.
True.
So happy birthday to you.
Appreciate that. It was the 38th anniversary of my 21st birthday.
Nice. Mathematically, I'm not sure what that means, but let me break down the stories for you so you can determine whether or not you want to engage in this experience for the next hour of your existence. Shohei Ohtani, the $700 million man with the Dodgers, signed a contract. Basically, $2 million a year for 10 years for playing. Mm-hmm. And then he gets $68 million deferred from July 2034 to 2043 every year.
Good work if you can get it.
Those are going to be the years that the Dodgers are going to be brutally bad because they're going to have all this deferred salary, $68 million a year from 2034 to 2043. They may be dodging a bullet because the interpreter is now translating his actions into possibly a guilty plea for larceny and embezzlement as a result of the alleged stealing of Shohei Ohtani's money to pay off a gambling debt.
Yeah, it's interesting because I thought they said he pled, but I heard it on the news this morning. I didn't hear the whole story, but I didn't know what he was actually pleading to.
Yeah, just like Sean Diddy Combs, almost every law enforcement arm is involved. We got the L.A. branch of the IRS. We got the Department of Homeland Security involved. Then we've got the U.S. Attorney, Central District of California, involved. So all three. So this is a major thing for the Dodgers and Ohtani because this would absolve him from any sort of involvement of paying off an illegal gambling debt. So therefore, he is not involved in any way. He's only a victim. And yeah. You know, at that point, you know, when the Dodgers are paying $68 million a year to this guy, but he's not playing, there's going to be no issues regarding breach of contract, et cetera, in terms of the contract they're going to have to pay.
Yeah, yeah, especially, you know, because you aren't an elected official as a district attorney. If you want to get reelected in L.A., you're not going to put Ohtani on the bench.
Yeah, so as a Giants fan, having gone to high school with Barry Bonds, actually grew I was in sixth grade with Tim Haller, Tom Haller's son. I actually used to go over to Tom Haller, who was the catcher for the Giants.
That sounds like a monkey, Haller monkey.
No, Haller, H-A-L-L-E-R, one of the greatest catchers of all time. So, you know, when I was a little kid, I was basically a Giants fan for sure. I mean, connected, 100%. So not only am I geographically connected to the Giants, but my formative years were basically spent having barbecues as a little boy at Tim Haller's house. Tom Haller, dad, Hall of Famer, should be. Played with Willie Mays. Great catch for the Giants. So went to high school with Barry Bonds. So I'm a Giants fan. And so if the Dodgers are hamstrung from 2034 to 2043, paying $68 million a year for a guy who's not playing baseball, 100% for that.
Wow.
But, you know, I think personally as a Giants fan, Ohtani should be deported.
Why?
To San Francisco.
No, that'd be a community service. Yeah. You got to go play for San Francisco.
All right, let's talk about more legal issues with a happy ending here for Ja Morant. So Ja Morant, he's been talked about as the basically a potential successor to LeBron James, Steph Curry. He's a super gifted basketball player. You watch that guy. Among giants of athleticism, he stands as tall as a sequoia.
Hmm.
So, and he's not, you know, super tall. He's just unbelievably gifted ball handler, shooter, makes great decisions on the court. But you know what? Inversely related to his great decisions on the court are the ones he makes off the court. So, yeah, he was basically, you know, strip clubbing it. And during the season, brandishing weapons, gets on social media, and then he did it again, got suspended for 25 games, and then he punches a 17-year-old in the face during a game, you know, pickup game.
Yeah, at his own house.
So he was absolved of responsibility for assault and battery because self-defense is absolutely a defense. And if you did it to protect yourself, so we'll break that down for you to show you how Ja Morant dodged that punch by giving a punch.
Ooh.
All right. Tech CEO accused of keeping an assistant as a sex slave. Not accused. He had a contract, a sex slave contract, which he was signed. And this guy was one of the founders of a large tech company, TradeShift, in San Francisco.
Interesting.
One of the founders. On the board. He's got a sex slave contract with an employee. It's like, what? So, you know, San Francisco is very progressive, apparently.
Yeah.
You know,
that seems like a contract against public interest.
Oh, it's not enforceable, for sure. I mean, you know, just like if prostitution is not enforceable. So if somehow you engage in that conduct and you want to pay, you can't get sued in small claims.
Not in this state.
It's void against public policy. So the idea here is that Christian Lang has now filed a cross complaint against Brian Friedman, the attorney to the stars, Don Lemons, his attorney, Bethany Frankel from The Real Housewives fame. Ultimately, Christian Lang says he shook me down. Said, you know, if I don't pay him $10 million, I'm going to file a lawsuit. We'll tell you why that is not extortion. That is just basically leveraging your legal rights to move forward into litigation. And this case comes down to an agreement was entered into. And Christian Lang, for whatever reason, it's kind of like Sean Diddy Combs settles his case after it's filed.
Yeah.
And then opens the doors. Everybody goes, whoa, you're getting paid. I'm getting paid. Next thing you know, he's got five lawsuits. Now he's being investigated by Homeland Security, the IRS, et cetera. Same thing that happened with, you know, what we're talking about, Otani. So whenever you get those groups involved, and in that case, P. Diddy, Sean, Diddy Combs.
That's right, Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy. And this guy's a smart businessman. He settled the case the day after the lawsuit was filed. You settled it the day before the lawsuit is filed.
Yeah, this is all stuff out of the 90s. It was that law that reopened it all up and had a sunset clause in New York that came back to haunt him.
Yeah, and then also Bill Cosby also opened up some civil statute of limitations issues when it comes to sexual abuse and sexual assault. So that's one of the reasons these things keep popping up, because the statute of limitations has been extended. And also what went on with the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So when it came to essentially raping young boys or girls within the confines of the authority of the Catholic Church, and it happened years and years ago, we extended the statute of limitations on that. So the law usually is very flexible when it comes to sexual abuse, especially of minors. So in this particular case, Christian Lang said, I was shook down. And the Brian Friedman says, no, it wasn't that. We had an agreement for $10 million and you didn't pay. And so you breached the agreement. You forced our hand. We sued you. So we'll talk about that. Elon Musk, the free speech absolutist purportedly, who has gone to bat for Chloe Happy, who is happy to have Elon Musk back her as a result of a lawsuit because she said she was fired from the company Block, which is basically a technology company set up by Jack Dorsey, the former founder of Twitter, because she was fired for basically making posts on X, Twitter, ironic, from Block, ironic, that basically she got fired because it didn't comply with their culture at the company. And one of them said, it's a restroom post, looking fear in the eyes today as I'm using the ADA gender neutral restroom in the office and a retarded tranny in a wheelchair knocks on the door. And she got fired when that came out. Yeah, you do that in our office, you're fired too. Guess what? Free speech doesn't extend to free enterprise. Elon Musk says she shouldn't have gotten fired. Her free speech rights. He has no idea what he's talking about.
The government wasn't the one that was restricted. It was Dorsey. So get out of here.
Business. Bottom line, man. It's not a protected class to make fun of people who are transsexual and wheelchair assisted in a bathroom setting. We'll go through the other one that has to do with the refugees from Gaza.
It also goes to decision making on her part by posting something like that that's going to be publicly seen, that you're going to say, why would I hire somebody like that?
Yeah, so clearly Jack Dorsey's company is fully within their constitutional rights to fire her. The First Amendment doesn't apply to free enterprise. California considers adding the right to clean air, water, and to the state's constitution like Montana. And then Florida woman gets tased after throwing a rubber snake at a police officer where the rubber hits the road. Drunk Florida man believes he has a fundamental right to sit naked in a trash can, and the devil made him do it. Putting the G in the 5G, Florida man climbs a 150-foot T-Mobile tower with a Bible and a one-eyed cuckoo crow. Florida man exposed himself while a woman is doing yoga in a wildlife preserve. Stay with us.
Well, What is the capital of Canada? If this question stumps you, then like most people, it's likely you're unsure how a personal injury claim works as well. So if you've been injured, forget artificial intelligence. Tap into the real live legal intelligence of the attorneys at Ashton & Price. You'll speak directly with a super experienced attorney to discuss the legal issues specific to your unique injury claim. The consultation's free. There's never a fee until we win. And oh, by the way, the capital of Canada, it's Ottawa.
Remember, for the best advice, don't think twice. Call Ashton and Price.
What happens when the direct nephew of George Washington matches legal wits with the most prominent shady attorney on the planet? I'll tell you. The All Things Legal Show. Decades of legal expertise distilling the latest sports and celebrity legal battles, the Constitution, AI, and the thousand ways Florida man flaunts the law while in flagrante. In the immortal words of the Princess Bride's Vicini, Thocrates, Plato, morons. Join Craig Ashton and Edward Shady on Spotify, TuneIn, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts, and listen to the All Things Legal Show anytime. You've been served.
If you want to be having for the rest of your life, never make a friendship one with your wife. Go for my personal point of view. Get another girl to marry you. If you want to be having for the rest of your life, never make a friendship one with your wife. Go for my personal point of view.
All right, we are back. And I guess I'm going to be unhappy for the rest of my life because my wife is unbelievably beautiful.
God, that means I'm going to be unhappy.
So far, the unhappiness wand has not hit me because I'm extremely happy. All right, so if you are just joining the show, we are a show called All Things Legal, law firm of Ashton & Price. If you want to get some context, go to ashtonandprice.com. If you like the show, we've been doing it for now 7 or 8 years.
Really?
And we talk about constitutional law, tech law, talk about Florida Man, and everything in between from the First Amendment to Florida Man. So if you like the show, go to anywhere you find your podcast and type in the All Things Legal Show. It'll make you laugh. It hopefully will lower your blood pressure or raise your intelligent quotient. Let's break down this story. Shohei Ohtani, arguably... he's definitely the most famous athlete in Japan, for sure.
Oh, he's pretty famous here. I mean, the guy can pitch, he can catch, he can hit. He does everything.
Yeah, since Babe Ruth, he's probably the best two-sided player in terms of pitching and hitting.
Offense, defense,
et cetera. Yeah, so he's basically an all-purpose player. Very, very rare to be able to do what he does. So rare that he just signed a $700 million contract with the Dodgers. Beat out the Giants, unfortunately. So that contract, $2 million per year for 10 years, so not much. So it allows the Dodgers basically to save their money now, so they're looking to go to the World Series again. And $60 million per year deferred from July 2034 through 2043. A lot of money. So there's a lot of money at stake. So he wants to go under the radar because when you have a contract that extends that long, there are ways that you can get out of that contract if you're the Dodgers, right? Which is, I mean, the Dodgers are hoping this comes up later. They got to defer. Oh, by the way, this embezzlement thing / you paid off a bookie thing, I think that that's calling into question the reputation of the Dodgers, which basically is a violation of the morality clause in the contract, and we ain't paying. But so far, Ipe Mizuhara, who is his long-term interpreter, who he met when he was playing for the Nippon Hammer Fighters, ultimately, basically jumped on the grenade, said, hey, I stole the money. I know it sounds weird that I could have access to that much money, you know, all the codes and taken from him. He didn't pay any attention, but I did. He had nothing to do with it. He's a victim. I'm basically the perpetrator. I'm the criminal, me and me alone. Yes, I was able to find somehow the only illegal book in the country. Now, FanDuel, I just didn't know how to. I don't watch TV. You know, I couldn't find legal books because what happened was is that the 10th Amendment allows police power to go to the states. California is basically banned sports betting, very limited. You got horse track racing, and that's about it. But you can go ahead and get bookies that ultimately are doing business in other states, like New Jersey or international bookies.
Or Vegas.
Or Vegas, right. So the point is that you can find bookies to bet on sports legally in California. But he found somebody who was an illegal sports book who has also happened to be under investigation by the FBI.
Ooh.
So when this guy pops up on the radar of a different investigation, said, oh, what's going on here? And it turns out, you know, like $4.5 million. So, I mean, to me, it seems odd that a legal bet is paid off. And it also seems even more odd because he gave a statement before, which was, yes, Mr. Ohtani knew about my debt. He gave me the money and helped me pay it off, which means that he was participating in a legal contract. Sports betting.
Yeah, it was really weird because it's contraindicated. He goes, I'll pay off your debt. And then the guy, then he finds out that it's going to be contrary to his interests. And then he changes his tune and says, no, he stole the money and I didn't know anything about it. And everything's around. So I don't know what this guy's actually pleading guilty to, because it was illegal betting, or is he pleading guilty to stealing from Ohtani, or is it a combination of both?
I would imagine, I mean, it sounds to me like it's probably a combination of both.
Because if it's only to the sport betting, then that still leaves the door open on Ohtani, is question mark. I mean, you wouldn't know if he was actually stealing from Ohtani or not unless they went and did a forensic accounting and go through everything and say, when did this actually come to fruition and how did you not know this was going on? But the DA will probably take the wind, brush it under the table, and move on. Because, I mean, other than this guy going to jail, who got hurt?
Well, lucky he became a Dodger. Because he dodged the legal consequence of this one.
Are you calling him the artful dodger?
Yeah, right. Because it looks like the interpreter is committing sambuku and ultimately taking responsibility.
Some what?
Well, I believe that is the ritualistic taking responsibility for dishonoring those above you by taking your own life.
Ooh.
And he's doing it metaphorically in the legal system. So, bottom line.
I thought it was Harikari.
Maybe it's Harikari. I took Japanese history when I was at Berkeley, but it's a Tokugawa period. So I got to say that maybe we can look that up. You can Google it. But anyway, there is a cultural dynamic in Japan and also Korea to a large measure, which is if you make a mistake, you take responsibility for that mistake and you suffer the consequence honorably. And in this case, it appears as though, if it's true, that he's honorably taking responsibility for what happened. He's owning up to it, which you should do. And that's the way our system really should work. I mean, there should be honor, but we've kind of lost our way in that regard.
Yeah, no, it's a nice system. I mean, it's a nice rule to have in place.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, there is something about one of the things I saw with the total eclipse of the sun is that finally we had a shared experience in this country where people went out and were looking at something scientific, which is verifiable, and they were sitting there together, not behind their 4chan or their 8chan on their computer making up things and memes that things aren't real, but actually outside breathing fresh air, seeing the dynamic of a predictable event based upon scientific calculation and being in awe. And so that particular shared experience we are missing, and it's affecting our legal system. It's affecting our electoral system. And it's ultimately something that you can see in the Japanese culture that may have been brought to bear in the Shohei Ohtani, where the interpreter said, you know what? I did it. No need for a jury trial. No need for the process to go on. I'm going to do the honorable thing, the right thing, and take responsibility. Or he says, if you don't do that, you'll never work again.
Or I'm going to give you a payoff if you do this.
Exactly.
I'll give you one of those $60 million years that are coming, you know, to fruition in 2034 through 2043. That'd be interesting. Who knows? But, you know, something smells in the state of Denmark there.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think the remedy should be a immediate transfer to the Giants program.
Back to the Angels.
Yeah.
Get him out of the National League altogether. Put him back in the American League.
So, Ja Morant, I was watching him and go, God, this guy is a great basketball player. And then he just lost it. So, you see it from time to time. I think Johnny Manziel is a good example. You know, Mr. Football. You know, that had it all. Heisman Trophy and playing for the, I think, Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah. Another Heisman Trophy winner like O.J. had it all.
Yeah, had it all. Right. I think O.J. just died.
He's dead today.
Well, I mean, good riddance to me.
Yeah. Nobody's going to miss you, OJ.
Yeah, on the list of things that I didn't like about him, USC was like 10th.
Murders were at top.
Yeah, I wonder if the Kardashians go into the funeral.
Who knows? If they can get airtime out of it, they will.
According to some of the things I read, maybe Khloe has to go because that's her father.
Mm.
Huh. Who knows? All right.
Honor thy father.
That's just an opinion. So not a statement of fact, Evan, concerning somebody else. Just an opinion based upon something I read. So they're...
Allegedly.
As they are public figures, there is clearly no malicious intent there. All right. So, John Morant, Memphis Grizzlies, was essentially looking like an ascendant basketball player rising above those who are already risen so far. There was a saying during the founding of our country that George Washington was a giant among giants. And John Morant was starting to look like he was a giant among giants metaphorically. And some were saying that he may be the successor to LeBron James and Steph Curry. Until he showed a penchant during the season for strip clubs, alcohol, and guns. And then made the problem worse by ultimately letting that behavior get digitally recorded on the ubiquitous iPhone smartphone. And then, as all smart multimillionaires will do during the season of the NBA, upload that to social media. Check it out. Check out my gun.
I mean, you're getting paid that much money. Just have a press agent handle all that for you and don't do it yourself.
Man, come on. I mean, seriously, I will work with you for $5 a week just to give you some advice. And the advice would be, look, do like Leonardo DiCaprio does, like Jay-Z does, you know, like, you know, all the others that you don't
Jack
hear anything
Nichols.
About. Yeah.
Now hold up.
So just iPhones are metaphorically put in a safe and you don't digitally record anything that you're doing, period, end of story. And if it's got strip club in it, never, never. You don't digitally record any of that stuff. No way.
And you're underselling yourself. It's $5 plus, you know, courtside seats at every home game.
Yeah, name, image, and likeness is really the way that the college players are getting paid. And then when you get out of, when you're in the NBA, you make a lot of money with Nike, with Gatorade, with BMW, with Hermes, whatever, Balenciaga, whatever it is. And you got to have a clean reputation. Because they're not going to want to attach you to their brands if you are not brandable. So he was basically got 8 days suspension for the first time, and then he got a 25-game suspension for the second time having a weapon by the NBA, right? And then he ends up injuring his shoulder a few games into the season. So he's not been, ever since he's gotten into these problems, his career and his life has gone absolutely in the wrong direction. So he was sued for assault and battery as a result of punching a 70-year-old, Joshua Holloway, in the summer of 2022. Apparently, as the evidence came out, Holloway allegedly was frustrated after losing multiple games. I mean,
yeah, you're going against an NBA player. Come on, you're going to lose.
Yeah, it's like losing a chess match to a chess master and, you know, knocking the
table. Yeah, Bobby Fischer beat me again. Yeah. What happened?
Yeah, Bobby, come here. I'm going to hit you over the head with a pawn. So, yeah. So he loses multiple games, frustrated, and in a check ball situation, he threw the ball one-handed and hit Morant in the face. No, you don't do that.
I mean, no. You're supposed to push it off your chest and like a gentleman and not throw it at somebody like it's a baseball.
Well, also threw it one-handed, which is different from that two-handed throw. This is one-handed baseball throw, right? Hit him in the face. So Morant punched him back, and I think that's justifiable. And it was determined that it was. It was justifiable use of force based upon self-defense. And as in every jurisdiction in the country, except maybe the ones that follow French Napoleonic law, which would be Louisiana, ultimately that you have a constitutional right to self-defend yourself, to self-defense. And if it is justified to defend yourself with using reasonable force, it is not a crime.
Yeah, because it had to be more than just throwing the ball at his face. He must have thrown it at his face and then taunted him, because if it was just thrown at the face and then he stopped or backed away, where's the threat for self-defense? So he must have taunted him as well and said, hey, what's coming next? Now I'll go hit him in the face. But, you know, Shelby County Circuit Judge Carol Chumney ruled in favor of the big man.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's probably also a Memphis Grizzlies fan. So.
Courtside seat judge.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, and he said very well. Bottom line is we all enjoy a presumption of civil immunity when you're engaged in self-defense.
Oh, definitely.
And you've got civil and criminal immunity if you are justifiable in the force you use to defend yourself.
You know, if the NBA was smart, they would have the great one. From the Bulls, that the Nike man, teach a class on this. I can't think of his name, Jordan.
All right, here we go. When we come back, we'll talk about tech CEO accused of keeping assistant as sex slave fights back. How's that possible? Stay with us.
I'm Craig Ashton of the injury law firm of Ashton & Price. Have you ever come across a person who's seriously injured who says, oh yeah, baby, I just hit the jackpot? Of course not. They get immediate, exemplary medical care, retain experienced legal counsel so they can make a full recovery as soon as possible. The end of the medical journey is when maximum compensation is determined, not a slot machine approach at the beginning. That's the gold standard offered by Ashton & Price, serious attorneys for serious people with serious injuries.
Remember, for the best advice, don't think twice. Call Ashton & Price.
What happens when the direct nephew of George Washington matches legal wits with the most prominent shady attorney on the planet? I'll tell you. The All Things Legal Show. Decades of legal expertise distilling the latest sports and celebrity legal battles, the Constitution, AI, and the thousand ways Florida man flaunts the law while in flagrante. In the immortal words of the Princess Bride's Vicini, Thocrates, Plato, morons. Join Craig Ashton and Edward Shady on Spotify, TuneIn, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts, and listen to the All Things Legal Show anytime. You've been served.
No, I said no, 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 I can't take it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please, it only makes
all right, we are back, and I say we, Craig Fontaine Ashton, Edward Allen Shady. Yeah, yes, if it's in the game, it's in the game. A shady attorney, one more year around the sun.
That's right.
It was a very shady year.
What? One more ring on the trunk.
Yeah, that's right. And it basically is almost a total eclipse of the sun on Shady's birthday.
That's true. It was nice. It was my son, my brother, and my two sisters were actually in the path of the total eclipse.
Yeah, I think when I was doing Iron Man Cosmo with you, because your head is so large, Cabeza Grande, there was almost a total eclipse of the sun when I was running behind you.
It's true. And then, it dragged, it changed the tide so much that you could actually walk the water.
But I think I was running behind you after I finished because I was done for a couple hours because it was your first time, and I was chasing after you with a margarita.
Didn't have to run that far. I'd slow down for that. I need to hydrate.
Yeah, one thing you did do, and my brother as well, you guys basically cleaned yourselves up at the end, took this beautiful picture. Like, you look like you just slept 8 hours and totally fresh. For me, because I got the times wrong, I wanted to make sure I got under 13 hours. Could get 17 hours to do it. And I'd done a few under, close to almost tipping into 11 hours, but just at the bottom part of the 12 hours to do it. And I thought I was over the time of into 13 hours. And so, man, I was like panicked. And my picture is a panic look on my face. So my finishing picture has never seen the light of day. But yours, I think I turned into... a beautiful,
a nice homage. Frame.
Yeah, a nice homage for you.
It was funny because I was running at the end, the marathon at the end. It was a banker from one of the Cayman Islands. And we're talking. Well, hey, we're not going to podium, so let's stop about 40 yards before the finish line. Rest, relax a little bit, and then just jog across and look fresh. And that's what we did. And that's why it looks that way.
Yeah, I did because this is my fourth one, I think. So obviously this is your first one, so. I was ahead of you by a couple hours, and so I got a bar right near the finishing line. And because it's a loop, you would keep going by. And I think I must have had 13 margaritas and 6 beers by the time you were done.
Well, Shady, which one is that? I got one loop left. You're, oh, my God, you're going to do it.
Yeah, I thought it was charming, and my wife was not in agreement. But because I was an Ironman that day, and there is a little bit of deference that is associated with that accomplishment, I didn't get yelled at till the next day.
True.
Which is nice.
I never heard any yelling.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's when we decided to get a boat to take us from Cozumel to the mainland on a little shipping boat in the middle of a storm. So that is another Gilligan story we'll tell for another show. All right.
Yeah, small craft warning day.
Yeah, I know. All right. Tech CEO accused of keeping assistant sex slave claims celebrity lawyer attempted $10 million shakedown. So essentially, Christian Lang, who was, I think, CEO, founder, and on the board of TradeShift, which is a tech software company in San Francisco, ultimately hired an assistant back in 2020. And didn't work for him for a while. So she went on to different parts of the company and then finally was laid off, which it appears as though she was laid off, not because of anything. She wasn't even working for Christian Lang at the time. She was laid off just because they laid off people as a result of downsizing in the company. So once she got fired, yeah, guess what? She's angry. She got fired or laid off. So she said, hey, I got some leverage here. I got a sex slave contract with the guy who's the founder, CEO, and on the board. So talk to a lawyer. Go, what should I do with that? Well, I'll tell you what you do with that. Bottom line, do you think you were fired for any reason as a result of that contract and your relationship going sour? Yeah, I think I did. So basically what happened was that there was a sex contract, which he put in writing and had it signed. I mean, who does that? I mean, you're supposed to be like a master of the universe. I don't know. This guy's probably worth like $50 million. That just means that these guys magooed their way into money because, you know, who gets a in your own business when you're dealing with raising money and you need to make sure that you can expand to the point where you can go public, that it is in your mind as the chief executive officer, the person that you look to make the decisions that are going to get you from startup to unicorn. And you decide to have a slave contract signed by both of you and somebody else who's working with you in your office? That's your decision tree?
No.
Yeah. See, what happened was, is because once you file the lawsuit, you have immunity from being sued based upon the pleading privilege.
True.
And so once it gets in there, you basically say, these are the things I believe I can prove. Good faith. Doesn't mean you're going to prove them because you could lose. But as long as you have a good faith belief that you have evidence to support it, it gets in there. And you can't be sued for defamation or false statements or anything associated with false light, et cetera, when it's in a pleading.
Yeah, litigation privilege.
So in a lawsuit was filed in December of last year, claimed that the depraved slave contract required her to always be sexually available for her master when he needs sex and had never refused him sex, even when not wearing the day collar. So it's a signed contract, right? So she's got the contract. So the lawyer for the woman says, hey, I'm a lawyer to famous people. You've exposed yourself. And you get what you get if you're this stupid to have a sex contract for somebody who's working in your company. Now, you can engage in a sex contract with a private person. It's not enforceable, but it's not illegal. You're not going to get basically put in jail for having a writing because you can say it's just a fetish thing. It's bondage, et cetera.
That's a stupid prank.
Consenting adults can do that, right? It's hard to say that if you're a slave, you can consent. But the idea is that it's make-believe because you're not really a slave. There's no way you can enforce a contract and say, hey, slave, you're late for work. You know, it doesn't work that way. So basically put that in writing. But when you have the employer-employee relationship, then you create some legal jeopardy, which this master of the universe, Mr. Magoo of the tech world, decided to put this in writing.
Well, yeah, the problem is because she is a subordinate, there's unequal bargaining positions there, and that's what the big problem is for this guy. Now, if it just been his girlfriend outside of the company and they're on equal footing where she could walk away without threat of loss of her job, who cares? But in this instance, she might have entered into this contract for fear of losing her job, which would lose her ability to house herself, feed herself, and carry on with the activities of life. And that's where the biggest problem is for this thing.
Yeah, so there was an agreement apparently to pay $10 million in installments, and that would have been a fair assessment of the exposure to his basically ability to move his company forward, which is a peripheral thing, but also to the potential damages that he would face based upon what a jury would give in an employment setting to have somebody who's working in a company where you're the chief executive officer or high up in the chain of command there and also a founder, and you've got a sex slave agreement with somebody who's working for your company.
Yeah, sexual harassment in the workplace is a no-no, and typically you have to show that the company or somebody, a manager or an executive, knew that it was going on. Well, in this instance, it is the chief executive officer, so it's a direct link right to headquarters.
So it is absolutely legal for Brian Friedman to leverage that contract to say, look, if you don't settle, this is going to be evidence in front of a jury to establish a work relationship. You are clearly a manager based upon your position in the company, and they will consider what damages are associated with you having somebody in your company that worked directly under you and still worked in the company with a sex slave contract. I think you might want to basically consider settling this out of court for the civil damages that are basically up to a jury, but we think they're going to be astronomical. $10 million was the number, which had peripheral issues because, when you're in business like that, you don't want this coming out because that really affects your reputation, the company's reputation, people's willingness to engage and continually funding the company going forward. And so apparently there was an agreement entered into, but then Christian Lang was late on one of the installments. And so then the attorney said, look, if you don't pay, then this was the quote, said, I've been asked by major media outlet if you would appear to explain your side of the story this week in conjunction with the claims being filed. Christian, I don't control the media, as you know, but once filed, cases like these take lives on their own. It's a bit of a couch threat, but it's not illegal to make that threat. That's leveraging the idea that something that you can leverage legally, which is a lawsuit, this is going to be very bad for you, and you have an opportunity to basically get yourself out of this, like Sean Diddy Combs should have done the day before the lawsuit was filed for sex abuse and rape, and then paid the day after it was filed. This guy was going to keep this out of court. We wouldn't have known about this because a non-disclosure agreement would have been signed, but he basically, according to this, stopped paying the installments, and so a lawsuit was filed.
Yeah.
That is absolutely 100% fair. That is not extortion. That's how the legal process works. That's how you leverage evidence to say, look, this is what I'm going to be doing, and I think I'm going to win. Now, you may disagree, but if you want to buy my silence because we can reasonably disagree about case value or whether or not you're exposed, but I can meet all the elements of this cause of action, it's definitely getting to a jury. This is not getting dismissed through summary judgment. We're going to ask you to pay. And if you say, okay, fine, I've basically weighed all of the costs and the benefits and I think I will settle, then fair enough. But if you don't pay on that contract and you get sued and try to say that the attorney's trying to extort you, no way.
It would have been interesting because, you know, part of that settlement, I'm sure he would have said it, if he was going to settle it and maybe even sweeten the kitty on the $10 million, we'll do a non-disclosure agreement. And then with that recent law with regard to sexual harassment in the workplace and non-disclosure agreements and whether or not they're binding or not, there was all kinds of overlapping issues with respect to this matter.
Well, one of the things that got me that is different from leveraging the sex slave contract, which I would leverage every day of the week, you expose yourself. Bottom line, is it illegal? It's illegal to put yourself in a situation where you're in a position in the management to have somebody who's working for you and has a sex slave contract. It is astonishing that you did that. But you did that, and guess what? You get what you get. You don't do that, and you did it. So a jury will figure out whether or not that is something that she's entitled to compensation for. We believe she is. But what was really different in this is that, according to the article I read, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, basically Friedman and then the plaintiff, Cooley, basically created fake social media accounts. And they started posting things that says not Christian Lang, at Christian Lang, and then to Christian and the entire tradeship board. I'm not going anywhere. None of us are. This is just the beginning. And that was basically a fake account created by either the attorney or the plaintiff. And so that to me is a little, that's where I think this attorney may be getting into trouble, when you're creating fictitious social media accounts to leverage settlement outcomes by putting things out there that are misleading. That, I think, may be violation of your duty of
Your ethical obligations. You can threaten somebody with a lawsuit all day long, but you cannot threaten them with criminal prosecution or administrative proceeding. That's when you cross the line. But threatening them with legal action, that's what we do for a living, so you're absolutely entitled to do that. But putting fake accounts out, if it casts an aspersion on the practice of law, you know, if it calls into question somebody's ethical obligations, that's a no-no. You just avoid it. You just walk away. You don't want to have the appearance of impropriety.
Well, so Christian Lang's defense is, well, the slave contract was merely a sexual prop downloaded from the internet. And, you know, there was elements of BDSM, you know, which we were engaged in, but it wasn't in the workplace. And then he posts in the counterclaim, quote, I'm so obsessed and in love and in awe and so bubbling, wanting, desiring, aching for Christian. I am so much more confident. I'm also so much his sex slave.
There you go.
LOL. So,
well, laugh out loud kind of makes it, you know, it is kind of a joke.
Well, yeah, I mean, that does create an issue there in that this was merely a prop. It wasn't anything that was enforceable or meant to be or intended to be enforceable.
This is an HR nightmare.
let's put it this way. If you have to explain to a jury why a signed sex slave contract with an employee is merely a joke, you probably already lost the argument.
Maybe, because then look at it from his point of view for the the defense going, why would she ever sign anything like that? She's not stupid. She had a nice resume. Look at her resume, where she went to school, college, where she previously worked. If she in any way, shape, or form thought this was enforceable, she's crazy. But at the same time, you know, HR probably has a policy that says if you're an executive and you're dating somebody within the company, you have to come into human resources. We have to vet this and make sure that there's not no crossover with her ability to advance and or get a raise that you can have any control over. And as the CEO, has control over everything. So there is a major problem.
Yeah, so the idea is that in this particular case, Christian Lang ended up getting fired by the board based upon gross misconduct on multiple grounds. And then he also, so he was fired from his job and then also resigned from the tradeship board in September of 2023. So there was massive consequences to him. Just really within the confines of what was going on, probably settlement with a non-disclosure agreement would have been his best move because it's, I don't care how you explain it, it just doesn't look great.
No.
So it would be a Pyrrhic victory if he does win. So when we come back, talk about the constitutional amendment in California to make clean air and clean water a constitutional fundamental right. And Florida woman tased after throwing rubber snake at police where the rubber snake hits the road. Stay with us.
A personal injury claim is not a lottery prize, and it is never a joke. Whether or not you've been injured in a slip and fall, pedestrian, bicycle, auto, Uber, Lyft, or big rig accident, you need serious, experienced, local legal counsel. At Ashton & Price, we have successfully represented Northern California injury victims for over 25 years. The consultation is free, and there is never a fee until we win. And between you and me, we win a lot. So remember, for the best advice, don't think twice. Call Ashton and Price. What happens when the direct nephew of George Washington matches legal wits with the most prominent shady attorney on the planet? I'll tell you, the All Things Legal Show. Decades of legal expertise distilling the latest sports and celebrity legal battles, the Constitution, AI, and the thousand ways Florida man flaunts the law while in flagrante. In the immortal words of the Princess Bride's Vicini, Thocrates, Plato, moron. Join Craig Ashton and Edward Shady on Spotify, TuneIn, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts, and listen to the All Things Legal Show anytime. You've been served.
All right, we are back. You find yourself in the last quarter hour of a show we called All Things Legal. Personal injury attorneys distilling topical events into the legal essence. You like the show? Go anywhere you find your podcast and type in the T-H-E All Things Legal Show. A wry-smiled, bow-tied attorney will pop up, worth the price of admission, just to see that. Or go to ashtonandprice.com. See all the multimillion-dollar verdicts, judgments we've received over the years, our curriculum vitae, et cetera. Yeah, I think you'll be impressed.
I'm
impressed by yours, Ed, for sure.
Appreciate that.
All right, so just to put a bow on this Christian Lang trade ship thing, what a bungle. I mean, really one of the stupidest things. They say in Princess Bride, never engage the Chinese in a land war. Never bet a Sicilian when death is on the line. And don't enter into a slave contract in an employment setting because slave contracts aren't enforceable in the first place. So whatever you're signing is not enforceable. It's against public policy. You can't go to court and say, hey, Judge Judy, she's my slave. And it says right here that she's got to do this. She didn't do it. She's in violation. And Judge Judy would have a field day.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you know that slave contracts are not enforceable? So the point is, it's not enforceable, but you put that in writing and you signed it.
Well, she'd have a field day with both. She'd go, what kind of idiot are you, woman, for signing that?
You exposed yourself to liability in a employment setting as a result of having somebody who works for you sign a contract that's not enforceable. That's just dumb.
I got to see this, that every HR department is going to send this to the board. Please, every executive, try to avoid this.
So they say that people are nitwits, and a nit is the egg of a louse. So a nitwit. This guy is a nitwit.
Ooh.
He's got the brain of a nit.
Oh.
The egg of a louse. Not good. All right. So Elon Musk, free speech absolutist, before we get into woman tasered with rubber snake. So basically, he's the guy who says, hey, I'm in to free speech, except he sued the Center for Countering Digital Health, basically for pointing out that he promotes hate speech, tried to stop them from pointing that out, tried to quell their speech. Just said, look, you're trying to quell their speech in a lawsuit. You can't do that. You cannot use the legal system, which is a government, to stop somebody from saying something. Isn't that what you keep saying about being a free speech absolutist, but you want to stop their right to say stuff about you and the hate speech on Twitter and X? Come on, hypocrite. Look it up. Look it up. That's you.
Yeah.
So now Elon Musk wants to basically show that he's a free speech absolutist by helping a woman, Chloe Happy, who worked for Block, which was founded by Jack Dorsey, where she got fired because Jack Dorsey said, hey, look, this doesn't fit in our culture when she writes under a moniker that is basically posted to her on X, I think, says restroom post, looking fear in the eyes today as I'm using the ADA gender neutral restroom in the office and a retarded tranny in a wheelchair knocks on the door. So she's looking fear in the face. And then talking about the refugee crisis in Gaza, women in Kurdistan, somebody comes out of the sky in a parachute and being a woman in Kurdistan with sheep herding husband and tweets witticisms like, beautiful, big, titty Kurdish woman just don't fall out of the sky, you know, and posted that about the Gazans fleeing, the Palestinians fleeing Gaza ending up in Kurdistan, called Kurdistan a country. It's actually a region. So anyway, so yeah, Block got a hold of that. I said, look, you work for us. Those are attributed to you. You just don't fit. So sorry, you're fired. We're not firing because you're a woman. We're not firing you because of your religion, your sexual orientation, your gender, et cetera. We're firing because we just don't like what you say.
Are you saying stupid's not protected?
Stupid is not protected.
And you're saying stupid should hurt?
And so Elon Musk would say stupid's protected in the work environment. No, it's not. It just ain't. It never has been. The First Amendment basically says the government cannot curtail the content of your speech, not private citizens. If Elon Musk got his way, that would mean that every time you have a barbecue, if a Nazi wanted to come, you had to let him in. And yeah, okay, according to Elon Musk, Nazis get to speak at every barbecue. You know, misogynists, hate speech at every barbecue because the First Amendment protects your right to speak wherever you want. No, it doesn't. It protects you from going into the public square and having the government say, you can't say that in this country. And I'm going to either fine you or imprison you as a result of you and the content of your speech. That's what the First Amendment says. It doesn't say private enterprise.
No, it doesn't. One president tried to do that. It was under the Alien Sedition Act. It was John Adams. But that law was overturned, and we've been where we're at since then.
Then E.T. phoned home and realized the Alien Sedition Act didn't apply to him either. All right. Florida woman throws rubber snake at police, tasered after high-speed chase. Florida woman was arrested after leading police on a high-speed chase that injured three motorists, resulted in the suspect throwing a rubber snake at the police. So that is assault and battery. So the assault is the apprehension that the police officer had when he saw what she didn't know was a fake rubber snake flying through the air coming at him. I think that officer used great restraint by not using lethal force on this woman and shooting her and only tasing her.
Well, he should have tased her multiple times. But, you know, the really sad thing in this was when she smashed into one of the police vehicles and continued, she caused a rollover crash of an oncoming pickup truck occupied by three people at the time. So now you've got not only herself endangering the police, she actually caused a rollover with regard to, you know, innocence in there. So it actually brings up the issue of now, if the police did not engage in this high-speed chase, she wouldn't have been going down the road at a crazy speed, and these individuals wouldn't have been involved in the rollover. But the law is pretty clear, at least in the state of California. If the jurisdiction has a high-speed pursuit policy in place, they have immunity from prosecution no matter what happens during the high-speed chase.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right on that one. She's going 80 to 100 miles an hour, and then basically the crescendo, the reptile on the cupcake, so to speak, was throwing a rubber snake, the cherry on top, at the police officer, and only tased her. And that was reasonable force.
You should have gave her a wooden shampoo.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, people get shot for less all the time, and you know, the idea would be whether or not whether that's justifiable use of force. And if somebody's throwing what looks like it depends on how realistic the steak was, right?
Hey, you think it's a poisonous steak?
What?
Shoot her.
If it's a python, it's a constrictor and you can't shoot somebody. But if it's venomous, you know, like a black mamba or a,
rattlesnake?
Rattlesnake, right, yeah. So I mean, there would be a lot of gradations of whether or not the level of force would be based upon your understanding of the toxicity of the venomous steak coming at you, or whether or not it's a constrictor, because constrictor is going to take a while to kill you. So at that point, probably just tase them.
Or wooden shampoo.
All right, this guy, you know, California has got an amendment to protect the fundamental right to water and clean air, which they have in Montana. I think it's a great thing, and it'll allow the little guy to speak up against the big guy. Drunk Florida man, he believes he has a fundamental right to sit naked in a trash can in public. So I think he watched a lot of Sesame Street, The Grouch.
Oh, yeah.
But he went full Grouch, but nuded up.
Well, his name's Wiley James, not Wiley Coyote, but Wiley James Weeks. But, you know, he's got trashed, and then he got into the trash.
Right, yeah. So, quote, defendant was observed sitting inside the trash can, naked, refusing to let people use the can for its intended purpose. I mean, gosh, you must really want to get rid of refuse if you're trying to throw garbage into a can with a naked dude in it. But defendant was drunk, he smelled of alcohol, and was slurring his words and unsteady on his feet. So I think just the fact that he's naked in a trash can would probably mean that he probably cause he's under the influence.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so he's trespassed to chattels for sure because he's in the trash can. Could be a trespass because, technically speaking, the county or the city owns that property, and so he's in it. That's a trespass. And then clearly drunk in public and lewd and lascivious. Yeah.
There's all kinds of good stuff there. I mean, what, the year before he got arrested for walking around Gulfport naked?
So here we go. The devil made me do it, putting the G in 5G. Ooh. According to report, Smith basically climbed a 150-foot T-Mobile cell phone tower, created a major disruption, resulting in $500,000 in damages and impacting nearby businesses and communities for 5 hours. He basically showed a understanding of the tower because he avoided the hot spots on it. And he got to the top of the tower with a Bible. And he started to throw things at them. And then when he got down, he basically said, the devil made me do it.
Yeah, maybe he went up for better reception.
Yeah, that's the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed doing it. Happy birthday, Edward Allen Shady.
I appreciate that.
38 plus 21.
True.
All right. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the All Things Legal Show with your host, Craig Ashton. For more information, go to ashtonandprice.com or call 916-786-7787. Go to Apple Podcasts and download the show if you missed it. Remember, the best advice, don't think twice. Call Ashton and Price.